John chapter 7, verses 32 to 44. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him.
It was the Rolling Stones who famously complained, "I can't get no satisfaction," which is surprising because they have the best of what this world can offer. Robbie and I saw them once at Lord's Cricket Ground. They were the embodiment of human success. Expensive clothes, glamorous women at their side. I wonder, can you empathize with them? Does life satisfy you? When asked, "How satisfied are you with life?" the percentage of Americans who said very satisfied was 57, fairly satisfied 34, not satisfied 8, other 1. America is quite a Christian country, and it's quite satisfied. But while 57% of Americans are very satisfied, the figure is 32% in the UK and 14% in France. It's interesting to see where people look for satisfaction. Could be a sports team. "I'll be satisfied if we win the Champions League." Other people spend money for satisfaction. Retail therapy. Obviously, people look for satisfaction in drink and drugs and experiences. For many, career is where they look for success. Does it satisfy? Jesus says in tonight's passage that we have a thirst which only he can satisfy. I want to show you two things tonight that are on the sheets on your tables. Dissatisfaction and satisfaction. Firstly, dissatisfaction. The context is that Jesus is teaching, as we were saying earlier, at the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was where the Jews commemorated their time in the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land. And during the festival, they lived in booths or tabernacles or tents to remember the time when they lived in tents in the wilderness. The festival also functioned as a harvest festival when they gave thanks for the harvest and for water. Without water, there was no harvest. And on each day of the feast, the high priest led a procession up to the temple and a golden flagon of water taken from the pool of Siloam was carried up to the temple and poured out before the Lord. Water and thirst are repeated themes in John. And Jesus capitalizes on the water right to proclaim that he alone can give us the water we really need He alone can give us satisfaction. And so firstly, we get a picture of dissatisfaction. Jesus' enemies have just tried to seize him, but they can't because his hour has not yet come. In other words, God is in complete control of when Jesus goes to the cross. His hour has not yet come. And in verse 32, the Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Whispering, verse 31, that they believed in him, some of them. Whispering that Jesus must be the Messiah because of his miracles. Satisfaction was placed before Jesus' enemies, the Pharisees. Jesus was placed before them. And what did they do? Verse 32. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Faced with the source of ultimate peace and happiness, the religious authorities seek to get rid of Jesus. And things haven't really changed. Where does our society look for satisfaction? Not in Jesus. Now maybe that's partly our fault, because we haven't shown Jesus to the world. Many no doubt do know about Jesus, and they deliberately oppose him. There was a lady who used to come to Body and Soul. She was very regular until she died, but she really didn't like Jesus. She could barely stand it when we talked about him. I don't know why she kept coming. She wasn't satisfied with life. She wasn't happy. But she rejected Jesus. Well, the Pharisees seek to arrest Jesus. Verse 33. Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me." Jesus will die, rise again, and then he will return to his Father. "You will look for me," verse 34, "but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." You will be dissatisfied. You won't be able to find me. You won't be able to come to heaven. My friend from Body and Soul, unless she had a deathbed conversion, well, this is now her experience. She is dissatisfied. It's too late for her to find Jesus. She's missed out on going to heaven. We don't want to end up like that, do we? Well, verse 35, the Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered amongst the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" Not only are they dissatisfied, they're confused about Jesus. Maybe you can relate to that. But secondly, we see in this passage satisfaction. C.S. Lewis famously said, "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, That does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably, earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. He said that in Mere Christianity. Do you find yourself with desires that this world cannot satisfy? That's an indication that you need to come to Jesus to have those desires satisfied. Let me tell you a story. It's about a man called Farid. Farid grew up in Russia as a Muslim, but he wasn't satisfied. In the early years of his life, he didn't associate himself with Islam. Instead, he considered himself a strong atheist. Things changed as he got a little older. The first thing that made me start thinking about the existence of God was the fear of death, he says. He started calling himself a Muslim. But he was also exposed to Christianity. Eventually, he went to study in the US, and his roommate was a Christian. Farid became a very committed Muslim. He really sought his satisfaction in that. But there was one question Christians asked that he couldn't answer. It was about the death and resurrection of Jesus and about how we could go to heaven. Things changed on February the 28th, 1999, when Farid became a Christian. And what Jesus has done for us became personal for him. And he found satisfaction. He had thought that Islam would give him satisfaction. It seemed to at first, but Islam didn't quench his deepest thirst, because it couldn't give an answer to death. It couldn't provide Farid with certainty that he was going to heaven. Well, look at how we can know satisfaction. Verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival. Remember, the golden flagon of water has been poured out. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Can you imagine if I stood up in the center of Letchworth and shouted out, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink"? It would be utterly ridiculous, because I can't make that promise. But for Jesus, it's not ridiculous. Jesus can fulfill his own promise. He can satisfy us. He alone can satisfy us. Verse 38, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel the prophet sees water flowing out of the temple, out to the four corners of the land. The refreshing presence of God saturates the land. Jesus is saying that the moment, that moment had arrived. Verse 39. By the water, he meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is saying, he can quench our deepest thirst. He can make us satisfied. Whoever believes in him will receive the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God. And this will be like water to our soul, like water on a parched land. Verse 40, On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." The prophet is the same person as the Messiah. The prophet is promised in Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 18. Another prophet like Moses. The Jews didn't understand that the prophet and the Messiah are the same person. Therefore, verse 41, others said, "He is the Messiah." But not all are satisfied with Jesus. Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee, that ordinary region in the north? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" They were right about this. They didn't realize Jesus was born in Bethlehem into the family of David. The result is, verse 43, thus the people were divided because of Jesus. And that's true today, isn't it? Tim Farron, the former leader of the Liberal Democrats, recently said that in America, a politician has to invent a faith in order to get elected. In Britain, a politician has to pretend that he doesn't have a faith in order to get elected. Jesus divides society. Those who make him king discover the presence of God in their lives. Those who reject him live with a nagging dissatisfaction. Verse 44, some wanted to seize him. They hated him then, they hate him now. But no one laid a hand on him. It was not his time. The late Ian Paisley, who was the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, when asked if he was afraid of being assassinated, replied, "Not at all. Until the moment God has chosen for me to die, I am untouchable," he said. That's how it was for Jesus. God had decided when he should die. Until that moment, no one could lay a hand on him. And the same is true for us. God has set a day for our death. Until that day, we are indestructible. So, do you know satisfaction? Where are you looking for satisfaction? Jesus says we must come to him. Evander Holyfield, you may remember, is a former heavyweight boxing champion of the world. During his career, he earned $205 million. He lives in a 54,000 square foot mansion. He's an avid collector of cars and has a stable of thoroughbred horses worth millions. And so we could go on. Do you know what he said about his life? "I'm bored." How can you have all that and be bored? Well, clearly, you can be. Evander Holyfield needs to find his satisfaction in Christ. And so do we. Have you done so? If not, will you look into the Christian faith like Farid? Would you like to come to Exploring Christianity? Would you like to read a book which introduces the Christian faith? And if you are a Christian, don't go back to looking for satisfaction in the wrong place. You've tasted true satisfaction in Jesus. You've known the satisfaction of a relationship with Jesus. You've known the joy of God speaking to you. You've experienced prayer. You've known the joy of fellowship with God's people. It is Satan who says to you, that's not enough. Satan says, you had more fun in the world. You would have more fun back in the world. What decision will you make in response to this sermon? Will you decide to seek all your satisfaction in Christ? Will you put all your energy into your relationship with Christ? Will you live to serve him? It's never easy. Never easy. But it's always worth it. There is no greater joy, no greater satisfaction than knowing Christ. Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Do you remember this scene from The Silver Chair? One of the Narnia stories. Are you not thirsty? Said the lion. I am dying of thirst, said Jill. Then drink, said the lion. May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do, said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. Will you promise not to do anything to me if I come, said Jill. I'll make no promise, said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had come a step nearer. Do you eat girls, she said. I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms, said the lion. It didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. It just said it. I daren't come and drink, said Jill. Then you will die of thirst, said the lion. Oh dear, said Jill, coming another step nearer. I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. There is no other stream, said the lion. There is no other stream. Will you drink from it? Let's pray. Father, we confess that we seek satisfaction in all the wrong things. We seek ultimate meaning and significance in things which are passing away. And so help each one of us to drink deeply of the water of your Spirit, to come to Christ, and to find in him all that we need. Lord, for those of us who know Jesus, help us to keep living for him. Help us to keep on being satisfied in him and not being led away into anything else. Lord, we give ourselves to you. And pray that we will be wholly yours. For Jesus' sake, amen.